from Jakarta. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in English program. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia presents news, actual information, as well as entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast via shortwave on 9525 kilohertz. You can listen to our program at www.voinews.id. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying. Hello listener, welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. In today's edition, we will present to you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, My Indonesia, and News in Brief. We'll continue our program for today with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news. First, the headlines. Indonesia calls for unified ASEAN position in the Regional Comprehensive Economic Partnership (RCEP) talks. Airport operator targets 1 million plane movements in 2018. Now the news in detail. Indonesia has called on ASEAN member countries to develop a unified position in negotiations on the Regional Comprehensive Economic Partnership (RCEP). The Trade Ministry's International Trade Negotiation Director General Iman Pambagio said in a statement received on Monday, March 26, that ASEAN needs to have only one voice when negotiating with the partner countries in RCEP. Iman chaired the Indonesian delegation in the second senior economic officials meeting for the 49th ASEAN Economic Ministers meeting from March 21 to 24 in Nusa Dua Bali. Iman Pambagio stressed the importance of ASEAN member countries to discuss certain issues internally before taking the issues to RCEP forum. During the meeting in Bali, ASEAN member country representatives also discussed the result of the fourth RCEP ministerial meeting. Iman called on the ASEAN member countries to commit to resolving all pending issues from the fourth RCEP ministerial meeting and the fifth intersessional ministerial meeting in Tokyo on July 1st. The issues to be discussed include rules of origin, trade in services, investment, and competition. The RCEP is a proposed free trade agreement between the 10 ASEAN members, namely Brunei, Cambodia, Indonesia, Laos, Malaysia, Myanmar, the Philippines, Singapore, Thailand, and Vietnam, and six other countries: Australia, China, India, Japan, South Korea, and New Zealand. Indonesian state-owned airport operator PT Angkasa Pura II has said it targets 1 million aircraft movements at the airport under its management this year, up from 821,000 movements last year. PT Angkasa Pura II operates 14 airports across the country, including major gateways like Jakarta serving Soekarno-Hatta International Airport and Bali's I Gusti Ngurah Rai International Airport. The airports under AP2's management had served more than 100 million passengers last year. AP2 President Director Muhammad Awaluddin, in a statement received on Monday, March 26, said it is the first time for AP2 serve 100 million passengers. That figure was achieved through solid collaboration between airport and airlines. He added that the company had organized a gathering to bring together representatives of airlines, airport, and air navigation firm Airnav Indonesia in Tanjung Pinang, Riau Islands. Muhammad Awaluddin added, President Joko Widodo has said that tourism will become the core of Indonesia's economy. The tourism ministry has a great task in boosting tourist arrivals, and the airport have a great role. AP2 plans to make the gathering an annual event to discuss ongoing issues about aviation and related businesses. Directorate General of Customs and Excise of the Ministry of Finance stated that it has not yet applied regulation of the Minister of Trade No. 84/2017 on provisions on tobacco import following the request of the Coordinating Ministry for Economic Affairs to delay the implementation of the regulation. This was conveyed by the spokesman of the Directorate General of Customs, Denny Suyantoro, in Jakarta on Sunday, March 25. As reported by Antara News Agency, this regulation was issued by Trade Minister Enggar Tias Tolukita on November 2, 2017 and should come into effect in January 2018 to restrict tobacco import from Virginia, Bali, and Oriental. The rules of import restrictions were opposed by many parties as they threatened the supply of industrial raw materials that could have an impact on the decline in production of tobacco products. Therefore, Coordinating Minister for the Economy Darmin Nasution immediately asked Enggar Tias Toh to delay the implementation of the minister's regulation. The possibility of a third political spectrum emerging in the 2019 presidential election has made the Indonesian Democratic Party of Struggle PDIP wary of the candidate they endorsed, Indonesian President Joko Widodo. Heri Budianto on Sunday, March 25, said that the fight can extend to a long period of time. It can also split the votes. The emergence of the so-called third axis can potentially drag the presidential election into two rounds. According to the poll that the Institute conducted on March 18 to March 21 that involved 1,200 respondents, there was 30.45% of voters who believed that a third political axis will emerge. However, 20.19% do not think that it will be formed, and 49.63% is undecided. Despite the popularity of a third axis, polls suggest that 41.15% members of the public prefer the upcoming presidential election to be participated by just two candidates, while 37.47% wants to see three presidential candidates in the 2019 election. This news comes to you from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Indonesian Minister for State-Owned Enterprises Rini Sumarno promised there would be no more state company reporting losses in 2018. In 2017, there were 12 state companies recording losses. The number were reduced from 24 companies in 2016. Minister Rini Sumarno said when taking part in FunBike BUMN 2018 in Jakarta on Sunday, March 25, that the target is no more state company to suffer losses in 2018. Steps have been taken to improve the financial performance of the 12 state companies suffering losses in 2017. The minister said there are many ways, but the best way is synergy among them, and synergy among state companies operating in the same sectors is coordinated for efficiency. She also added that synergy could also be created by utilizing the products or services of each other company, each making use of superiority of each other. She noted, state-owned companies serve as pillars sustaining the national integrity and to improve the welfare of the people, as state companies are found in almost all business areas. Low-cost airlines CityLink Indonesia has announced plans to serve two or three more international routes this year, in addition to the Jakarta-Penang route that started operation on Sunday and the Jakarta-Delhi route that has been in operation since May last year. The company said it took into consideration several aspects before opening new routes, including the destination city's gross domestic product GDP, to assess the business prospects. CityLink Finance Director Fran Setia Utabara said on the CityLink flight to Penang on Sunday, March 25, that the new routes will benefit CityLink because the company can optimize the utilization of its fleet. Meanwhile, Andi Andrian Febrianto, CityLink Indonesia's Chief Commercial Officer, said the new routes would be within a range of 4 to 5 flying hours, a distance coverable by Airbus A320 planes. CityLink's inaugural flight to Penang recorded a seat occupancy rate of 97% with 176 of the 180 available seats filled. Penang is considered an attractive destination for airlines as it is a modern international island city that offers tourist attractions such as heritage buildings in Georgetown, the Coney Drive tourist belt, Penang Hill, and others. The last item. Tangerang City officials recently held the Vintage Bicycle Jamboree entitled the 38th International Veteran Cycle Association, IVCA, on Saturday, March 24. This has sparked the interest of city officials to host an International Vintage Bicycle Jamboree in 2019. Their desire to do so was mentioned by Tangerang City Regional Secretary Dadi Budairi on Saturday, just after inaugurating the participants of the 2018 IVCA. He said Tangerang City has many antique-style bicycles known as ontel and other types of bicycles. The 2018 IVCA is participated by 10 core team cyclists and hundreds of others that will cycle their way as far as 1,500 kilometers to Sanur, Bali. Within 20 days from March 24 to April 12, these 10 cyclists are expected to reach the region that is considered to be one of Indonesia's most notable tourism spots. Once the cyclists reach their destination, they will also participate in the 38th International Bali Indonesia Congress and Rally IVCA on April 14 to 15. The chairman of the Indonesian Vintage Bicycle Community, Joko Rinto Prihatono, said that it is an honor for Indonesia to become the host nation of the world's oldest vintage bicycle congress and rally association. Listener, to end the news, here are the headlines once again. Indonesia calls for unified ASEAN position in the Regional Comprehensive Economic Partnership, RCEP, talks. Airport operator targets 1 million plane movements in 2018. That was the news from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Commentary. Comments on actual national and international issues from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our regular program, Commentary. The title of today's commentary is 7 days through each hour. World Wildlife Fund of Nature. WWF, an international non-governmental organization that deals with issues of conservation research and environmental restoration, reports that the Earth is in crisis. The damage to the Earth has gone so fast. Based on report of the WWF UK Living Planet report, 80% of the water species are destroyed, while more than 50% of the land animal population has went extinct. 40% of forests had been transformed into agricultural land, and 50 million trees as raw materials get lost each year. In addition, climate change makes one of six species in the world under threat of extinction. To save the Earth, WWF does an activity called Each Hour. Actually, what is Each Hour and what is the purpose of the activity? Earth Hour, which means in Indonesian language, Jan Bumi, is a global event organized by the WWF at last Saturday of March each year. This activity is in the form of a blackout in homes and offices for 1 hour to raise awareness of the need for serious action against climate change. The WWF initiative was first held in 2007. At the time, 2.2 million Sydney residents participated in by extinguishing all unnecessary lights. After Sydney, several cities around the world participated in the Earth Hour 2008. This year, Earth Hour is held in 180 countries, including in Indonesia. As in previous years, several cities in Indonesia participated in Earth Hour activities. On Saturday night, from 8:13 to 9:30 local time, the commemoration of Earth Hour Indonesia 2018 is held simultaneously in Indonesia. This year, there are 60 cities to participate in Earth Hour Indonesia 2018, including Jakarta, Banjarmasin in South Kalimantan, Yogyakarta, and Pontianak in West Kalimantan. Quoted from the official website of the WWF, turning off the lights for 60 minutes becomes a symbol that shows solidarity for each planet. Although it is only done for 1 hour and once every year, the Earth Hour activity is proven to have a very huge impact, especially in saving energy. For the area of Jakarta, blackouts are conducted at Bung Karno Main Stadium, Town Hall Building, National Monument or Monas, Welcoming Monument, and Simpang Susun Semanggi. As a result, Jakarta provincial government is estimated to have 170 megawatts of electricity. In addition to saving in terms of cost and power, power outages by the city government also have a major impact on the reduction of greenhouse gas emissions. What about in the world? In addition to saving energy, for about 10 years of action, the Earth Hour has helped create 3.4 million hectares of Argentina's marine protected area, 2,700 hectare forests in Uganda, and new laws for marine and forest protection in Russia. Seeing the great benefits of the Earth Hour, in the future, not only government offices and buildings, but also other places belong to individual or private companies will participate in this Earth Hour activity. Energy savings should be done not only once a year for an hour, but also every single day for an hour continuously. The Earth Hour is just one of the few efforts that can be done to save the Earth. Let's do something so the Earth becomes a comfortable place to live on. Well, listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Today in History, presenting you historical facts of the day.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our regular program Today in History, offered by RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Well, listener, we start from an event on March 26, 1971, when Bangladesh disintegrated itself. Following political upheaval on a large scale, East Pakistan, whose name is now Bangladesh, disintegrated itself from Pakistan on March 26, 1971, and announced its independence. Earlier in 1947, Pakistan also disintegrated itself from India, but discriminated policy carried out by the central government in Islamabad on Bangka tribe that reaches 98% of all population in East Pakistan posed public dissatisfaction. Earlier, East Pakistani people filed for autonomy for their territory, but the demand changed to be disintegrated movement from Pakistan. To control the people's upheaval, Pakistani soldiers occupied Dhaka city. Indian soldiers intervened by taking sides with East Pakistan. Finally, Pakistani forces were forced to leave Dhaka city and East Pakistan to proclaim the independence by changing its name to be Bangladeshed. Najibur Rahman, a leader of East Pakistan, became the first president of Bangladesh. But not long time, Najibur Rahman was killed in a coup d'etat. The next event was in 1979 when Camp David Peace Agreement was signed by Egypt and Israel. Naval Support Facility Tournament, more known as Camp David, was a resort of U.S. President in Maryland. Camp David was often used as official or unofficial meeting point between United States of America and leaders of the world. The most known and phenomenal aspect was the meeting which resulted peace agreement between Egyptian President Anwar Sadat and Prime Minister of Israel Menachem Begin. The agreement was well known as the Camp David Peace Agreement. It was signed on March 26, 1979. Some historical events which took place at Camp David were the planning of Normandy invasion, meeting between Eisenhower, Khrushchev and discussion on Vietnam War. And the last event was in 1989, the Persian election in Soviet Union and Boris Yeltsin as a winner. Boris Nikolaevich Yeltsin was born on February 1, 1931 in Spartakotsk. Boris Yeltsin had appeared as a winner in the Persian election in Soviet Union since communist power collapsed. As many as 120 million people voted for him. Thus, Boris Yeltsin became president of Russian Federation and he was in power in 1991-1999. Boris Yeltsin passed away in April 23, 2007 due to heart failure. The assistant of the general election in Soviet Union cannot be separated with glasnost and perestroika politics, which was planned by Mikhail Gorbachev, a supreme leader of Soviet Union in the end of 1990s. Well, listener, that was Today in History, read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Indonesia in economy, international politics, sports, environment, and Pancasila, only on Indonesiaku. My Indonesia.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our regular program, My Indonesia, through RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. The title of today's of My Indonesia is Government Targeting 7.8% Export to Taiwan. Indonesia targets export to Taiwan to grow by 7.8% in 2018. Director General of National Export Development, Pan Alinda, in the Indonesian-Taiwan Business Forum in Taiwan on Friday said that Indonesia and Taiwan have a great potential to enhance trade cooperation. Alinda is optimistic to achieve the target as Indonesia and Taiwan recorded positive economic growth. She also said that Indonesia's total export to Taiwan reached 1.89% of Taiwan's total imports from the world. Meanwhile, Taiwan's total export to Indonesia last year reached 2% of Indonesian total export worldwide. The main export products from Indonesia to Taiwan are gold, bituminous coal, tin, plywood, coffee, copper, and scrap. Meanwhile, five main products imported from Taiwan to Indonesia are woven, knit fabric, generating set, electronic integrated circuits, and electronic spare parts and micro assemblies. Arlinda said that kopi is one of Indonesia's potential export commodities for Taiwan. Indonesia is the fourth largest kopi producer in the world and ranked 7th as the world's largest kopi exporter. She also disclosed that last year Indonesian kopi export increased by 17.71% compared to the previous year. Meanwhile, kopi export from Indonesia to Taiwan reached $2.89 million. To strengthen trade relations between Indonesia and Taiwan, since 2016, a working on group on trade meeting has been held within the framework of a Joint Committee of Trade and Investment, JCTI, which is a bilateral meeting to discuss trade and investment increase between the two parties. In the near future, JCTI will be held in Bali on March 27, 2018. On the occasion of the Business Forum, Arlinda invites Taiwanese business people to attend the 33rd Trade Expo Indonesia, TEI, which will be held at Indonesian Convention Exhibition, BSD City, Tangerang, Banten on 24th until 28th October 2018. The Trade Expo Indonesia 2018 is targeted to be attended by more than 28,000 international buyers and 1,110 participants. After the business forum, she expects more buyers from Taiwan. Meanwhile, Chief of Indonesian Chamber of Commerce and Industry in Taiwan, Robert James Bintario, said that over the last 3 years, Taiwan's coffee imports from Indonesia have increased. Indonesian Chamber of Commerce and Industry in Taiwan regularly invites Taiwanese business people to visit several locations listed as the best coffee producers in Indonesia, such as East Java and Aceh. Until now, Indonesian coffee imports in Taiwan still occupy the third position, so Indonesian government should keep increasing the number of sales and export of coffee to Taiwan. While listener, that was My Indonesia, read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Listener, welcome to News in Brief. Indonesia has called on ASEAN member countries to develop a unified position in negotiations on the Regional Comprehensive Economic Partnership, RCEP. The Trade Ministry's International Trade Negotiation Director General, Iman Pambagio, said in a statement received on Monday that ASEAN needs to have only one voice when negotiating with the partner countries in RCEP. Indonesian state-owned airport operator PT Angkasa Pura II has said it targets 1 million aircraft movements at the airport under its management this year, up from 821,000 movements last year. Directorate General of Customs and Excise of the Ministry of Finance stated that it has not yet applied regulation on the Minister of Trade Number 84 of 2017 on provisions on tobacco import following the request of the Coordinating Ministry for Economic Affairs to delay the implementation of the regulation. The possibility of a third political spectrum emerging in the 2019 presidential election has made the Indonesian Democratic Party of Struggle wary of the candidate they endorse, Indonesian President Joko Widodo. Indonesian Minister for State-Owned Enterprises Rini M. Sumarno promised there would be no more state company reporting losses in 2018. Low-cost airline CityLink Indonesia has announced plans to serve two or three more international routes this year, in addition to the Jakarta-Penang route that started operation on Sunday and the Jakarta-Delhi route that has been in operation since May last year. Tangerang City officials recently held the Vintage Bicycle Jamboree, entitled the 38th International Veteran Cycle Association, on Saturday, March 24. This has sparked the interest of city officials to host an International Vintage Bicycle Jamboree in 2019. Listener, there was news in brief.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hey,
Hello listeners, welcome to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary art, fine art, and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will introduce you to Kujang, a traditional weapon from West Java. Stay tuned. Listener, West Java has various kinds of traditional weapon such as kujang, balincong, patik, bedok, and many others. Kujang is one of West Java traditional weapons, which is quite known because it is unique shape. Kujang began to be made around the 8th century or the 9th century. It is well known as Sundanese traditional weapon, which has sacred value and magical power. Kujang is also a weapon of West Java farmer and has root on agricultural culture. Listener, generally, Kujang has understanding as heirloom from the god. As a weapon, since the past until now, Kujang has possessed as a very special position among Sundanese people. In the past, Kujang could not be separated from Sundanese people's life because of its function as agricultural tools. The development of technology, culture, social, and economy of Sundanese people, Kujang also developed and experienced. It's become a thing which has own character and tend to be weapon which has symbolic and sacred values. Listener, every part of Kujang has its own name, beginning from the pointed tip, which is used for incision or gouging. This is called papatuk or chongo, until ganja or landayan, namely sharp corner with direct similar direction with papatuk. In general, Kujang has 5 until 9 eyes. Kujang which has no eyes is called as kujang buta, or in English, blind kujang. Besides its shape, the characteristic of kujang material is also very unique because it tan thick, its material is dried, and it has pearls and many containing natural metal elements. Listener, according to elders, some give a very noble philosophy to Kujang as Kujangji, Re Neruskeun, Padamelan Sepuh, Karuhun Urang, meaning, promise to keep struggling of the ancestor, namely by enforcing the characteristic of human and nation. There are 5 human characteristics, Wales Asih or love, tata krama or attitude, undak usuk or speaking ethic, budidaya budidasa, wiwaha yuda naraga, wiwaha yuda naraga. In addition, there are 5 national characteristics, namely rupa or figure, basa or language, adat or tradition, aksara or letter, and kebudayaan or culture. Listener, that was our segment Indonesian Wonder for today, featuring Kujang, a traditional weapon from West Java. Thank you for listening. to speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia, or the Indonesian language on the radio, which introduces some Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to use them in a conversation. The segment of Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia is a cooperation of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with the Language Development Agency, the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. Today's topic is Kamu suka makanan apa? Or in English, what food do you like? Stay tuned. Next is a conversation about Kamu suka makanan apa? Or in English, what food do you like? As usual, I'll say every sentence loudly, twice, and you can follow after me. The conversation between Tony and Heru at the hotel.
Satenya enak.
Oh ya?
Ya. Heru, makanan apa yang kamu suka?
Aku suka nasi goreng. Kamu?
Aku suka sup.
Oh, kamu suka sup ikan?
Aku tidak suka sup ikan.
After we listen to the conversation, now I'll introduce some vocabularies, idioms, and sentence related to the topic today about kamu suka makanan apa. I'll say each word slowly and twice. You can follow after me. Makanan apa yang kamu suka? Makanan apa yang kamu suka? In English, what food do you like? Aku suka nasi goreng. Aku suka nasi goreng. In English, I like nasi goreng or fried rice. Apakah kamu suka sup ikan? Apakah kamu suka sup ikan? In English, do you like fish soup? Aku tidak suka sup ikan. Aku tidak suka sup ikan. In English, I do not like fish soup. Makanan. In English, food. Sate. In English, sate. In the Indonesian language, to ask about food and favorite beverages, you can say makanan apa yang kamu suka? Makanan apa yang kamu suka? In English, what food do you like? Minuman apa yang kamu suka? Minuman apa yang kamu suka? In English, what beverage do you like? While when you want to ask about something specifically, you can say apakah kamu suka sup ikan? Apakah kamu suka sup ikan? In English, do you like fish soup? Or another example, apakah kamu suka nasi goreng? Apakah kamu suka nasi goreng? In English, do you like nasi goreng? Well, to answer the question, you can say ya suka. Ya suka. In English, yes, I do. Or, yes, I like it. Or you can answer completely, aku suka nasi goreng. Aku suka nasi goreng. In English, I like fried rice or nasi goreng. If you do not like the food, you can say, aku tidak suka. Aku tidak suka. In English, I do not like it. Or you can say completely, aku tidak suka nasi goreng. Aku tidak suka nasi goreng. In English, I do not like nasi goreng. Listener, for your listening clearly, let's follow again the conversation about kamu suka makanan apa?
kamu suka makanan apa or what food do you like?
Hmm, satenya enak.
Oh ya?
Ya. Heru, makanan apa yang kamu suka?
Aku suka nasi goreng. Kamu?
Hmm, aku suka sup.
Oh, kamu suka sup ikan?
Hmm, aku tidak suka sup ikan.
As an exercise, please send us your voice recording in Indonesian language to our email address at voi@vonews.id. There will be interesting prizes for the selected senders. Please say your name, your address, and your favorite food. For example, selamat pagi, nama saya Tina. Saya berasal dari Indonesia. Makanan kesukaan saya nasi goreng. Listener, that was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia for today's edition. Hopefully this edition can be useful for those who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. See you tomorrow with another interesting topic. Sampai jumpa. Goodbye for now.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome back to the regular Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern one. In today's edition, we will present keroncong songs performed by Indonesian female keroncong singer, Wiwi Sumboko. Listener, let's listen to the first song entitled Bengawan Solo by Wiwi Sumboko. Happy listening. Bengawan Solo is a fairly famous Kroncong song from Indonesia. This song talks about the longest river in Java, namely Bengawan Solo. The song was composed by Gesang Marto Hartono, or better known as Gesang, in 1940 when he was 23 years old. Not only in Indonesia, this song is also famous, especially in Japan. Bengawan Solo was once used in one of Japan's big screen movies. The song is translated into 13 languages, including English, Russian, Chinese, and Japanese. This original Kroncong song has been sung by many singers, including Gesang and Vivi Sumbogo. Initially, Vivi was known as Kroncong and Javanese pop singers. Her name is popular, especially in Central Java and East Java regions. Well, listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Sampul Surat by Vivi Sumbogo. Enjoy the song. This song tells about someone who is disappointed when receiving a letter. It is an envelope only. With a sense of sadness and disappointment, the cover of the letter is kept as a memory. Vivit Sambhoga's career began to rise when she released an Indonesian pop album entitled Loyang Dan Besi. In the era of 80s, Vivi had released several albums. In addition to launch a number of albums, the singer who has the original name, Devi Prasetyawati Sambhoga, also often performed on the music show on national television station TVRI. In addition to have a melodious voice, Vivi also has a beautiful face. Well, listener, to conclude our segment for today, let's listen to the last two songs entitled Indonesia Tercinta and Karunia by Vivi Sambhoga. Happy listening. Sampai jumpa.
Thank you.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Thank you for listening to English program from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Stay tuned on 9525 kHz. You can also tune at voinews.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, RRI Building, 4th floor, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta. PO Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. You can also join us on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter at VOI Indonesia. Our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.